a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
The Astros embarrassed the city of Houston this weekend. That was an absolute effing disaster. Getting swept in your own house by the Seattle Mariners. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. I'm still pissed off about it. Welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, August 21st of 2023. I don't know how many of you guys watch the television show Succession. Sean Mapes and I like the show. The main character in that show, Logan Roy, is essentially a knockoff version of Rupert Murdoch. And his kids in this show are constantly conniving to inherit the company. Thus, the very creative title, Succession. One of the last moments that we get Logan interacting with his kids when he is trying to highlight to them that they probably don't have what it takes is when he gave them this dagger of a one-liner.
I love you, but you are not serious people.
And I don't know how the F you go from on Saturday night getting pantsed 10-3 to having that disgusting display in the first couple of innings yesterday. And I get it. They came back thanks to Emerson Hancock getting hurt. And it was 6-5. And at the very least, the end of that game, which I was at, was fun. But you go from Framber Valdez having a temper tantrum on the mound, losing 10-3, to that. I really don't see how they got up for this weekend looking like that. And yeah, I think it is fair to call effort and hustle and everything into question, specifically from Saturday going into yesterday, when you have Martin Maldonado saying this after the game.
I think for our end, you know, I think it should be slap in the face. I would say wake up call. So I think we gotta go out there and play better, better energy, and don't be satisfied because you're just playing the game. We gotta go out there and win the game.
You need an effing wake up call for a team you played in the playoffs last year that beat you 3 out of 4 right before the All-Star break. A team that's 8-2 against you on the season. You need an effing wake up call. This is a slap in the face. It's good to know that our fearsome leader, Martin Maldonado, is here to turn the ship around. They had a players-only meeting. Like, that's going to effing do anything. And what I'm most pissed about is really Framber Valdez. I don't know what is wrong with him, but yet again, after getting touched up for a home run, what's the next thing he does? Has a little temper tantrum like I'm having on the mound. I don't know what the F this was with Jose Caballero, who is a bit insufferable. I kind of get throwing at Jose Caballero, to be perfectly honest. But this moment was everything you need to know about Framber Valdez right now.
Now getting hit by pitches, Caballero, who's looking at Framber Valdez. And Framber says, I can't hear what you're saying. And he's walking right at Caballero. Suarez gets in the middle. So does Julio Rodriguez. Framber, after giving up the two-run home run, hit Caballero, and then Caballero said something to Framber, and he said, I can't hear you.
I get that it's 2023 and all, mental health and all that crap, but can we get this guy a therapist or something? What the hell is up with him? Like, that is something he has done twice. He should have been ejected for that. Honestly, I wish Dusty Baker had just ejected him on the spot for that. And Dusty started pointing at Caballero. No, let's focus on the big elephant in the room here, that Framber sucks this season. He's been awful for months, much like Christian Javier. And I mean, if this team's going to win a World Series, which they're still capable of doing, there's 37 games left. That guy's going to have to get shaken and woken up cool, no hitter. You got touched up by the Rangers. You throw a temper tantrum. You do this against the Mariners. It's the same effing thing. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Maldi's got it, though, guys. And you know what makes matters worse? Coming out of this weekend, where, again, you got effing swept, embarrassed, at home by a team that you've owned for years. They're frisky. They're on a roll. The Rangers got swept over the weekend, too. You had a golden chance to at least make up one game. You couldn't even win one. I mean, hell, you're lucky the Rangers got swept. Lucky. Because this could be over. The AL West could be essentially over right now. They could be 5.5 games back and just half a game's up on the Mariners. By the way, they're just half a game up on the Mariners after this. And you go into this series, and Martin Maldonado saying afterwards, yeah, we got to really look at ourselves in the mirror. It was a slap in the face. I just don't understand how you're not aware that this team's playing well. Good God, even my baseball idiot ass was aware that the Mariners are on an effing roll. And you just pooped your pants. What was that? It's not often that I get mad at that team, but I just, to show up there on Sunday after they got their asses kicked 10-3, Julio Rodriguez isn't just emasculating you at the plate. He's emasculating Framber Valdez when he's trying to go and start something with Jose Caballero. And then you start off the game with what you saw from Hunter Brown. Good God. Couple wild pitches. Julio goes and doubles right away. And you're down 6-0 in the third. I get it. They came back. Blah, 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 blah. Disgraceful performance. Disgraceful effort. And they're even acknowledging it. It was a slap in the face. We had to have a players-only meeting afterwards. Like, come on. This is a red-hot team. You are not where you were last year. You are not where you've been in a while. Wake up. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well, you can join us on the Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Pinche says, I'm feigning frustration. I'm not buying his fruity tantrum. Look, I like to see this team do well. And that was ass yesterday. Complete ass. I just don't understand how they weren't ready to go. Specifically from Saturday to Sunday. Friday, 2-0, I get it. Saturday, Framber looks awful, has a temper tantrum again, and then on Sunday you start off and you're down 6-0. Like, what's going on here? There's a funny text by Coug Blaze on the Twitch. I feel sorry for all of those dogs that had to sit through that yesterday. Those dogs did look miserable. There is a stretch of left field where you just could not walk through, and I actually felt bad for the dogs. I feel like there was a lot for all of those dogs to have to go through. Not just the Astros baseball. I mean, I get it. Dog day at the park. Cool. But I think those dogs are all stressed the F out when they're there.
This is what I'm most upset about with the Astros. Dog day in the park against the Seattle Mariners. Against a division rival.
Mm.
Against a team
fans
that gave
focused.
You your best shot in the playoffs last year, and now you think, oh, this is the day we bring our little fur babies to the
fur
game.
Babies.
No, you say that for the Detroit Tigers. You save that for the Oakland Athletics. You save that for the New York Yankees. You save that for last place teams. You do not do that in a series that, even before we knew that this was going to be a division race, you knew that this was going to be a big series.
Yep.
Late August series. Against the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
And they may, ooh, dog day, bro. F that.
I want Sean to cook some
more. It's a slap in the face. It's actually more of a slap in the face than them getting swept by the Mariners. Them bringing all them wearing the little cute Astro dog bandanas. Get out of here, losers.
The fans weren't focused.
No, they weren't. We couldn't make Seattle's life a living hell.
The people that are like that with their dogs, like it's a child.
That actually,
I hate those people.
It's not just that our fans, our 10th man was distracted.
They were distracted.
It was that you're not getting your best.
No.
If it's the fans that show up with their dogs at dog day.
No doubt.
You're getting the worst of the worst.
You really are.
The worst the city has to offer.
713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well. We got a text from the 281 here. The Mariners were Jose Ramirez, and we were Tim Anderson. Yeah.
Well, they're Michael Vick.
But at least Tim Anderson got his hands up. Oh, my God, Sean. That took me a second to process that. Damn, you're on fire right now. From the 713, the Astros don't have the dog in them. That's from Man, Bear, Pig, and Cypress. Nice. Yeah, man. Look, not the end of the world, but you know what that team is, and that's the effort you showed. And I really want to focus on Framber. Like, to me, that's the sign of somebody who's mentally soft. This is how he always reacts to adversity. And he's been through a lot of it this year compared to last season, but something's got to happen with him. Something's got to happen with Christian Javier. After the game, Framber was asked about the confrontation with Caballero, and he said, Caballero reacted a little bit crazy there. It was a bad pitch. I hit him by mistake. It wasn't intentional. Obviously, hit-by-pitches happened in the game. He reacted a little bit aggressively, so I reacted as well. It's part of the game. Things happen. Look, Caballero is annoying as hell. He's easily the most dislikable Mariners player out there with all that stupid crap that he does in the batter's box and his gamesmanship with the pitch clock. It's really effing annoying. Get in the effing box, dude. Who are you? I've never heard of you before. I barely know how to pronounce your last name. But at the same time, when Framber has done this now in back-to-back outings after giving up a home run, throwing at a guy, are we really going to buy into that excuse by Framber Valdez? Sorry, I'm not. Nope. Threw at the guy. Fun guy to throw at. You know, whenever I played MVP baseball 2005, I would always throw at Alex Rodriguez instead of intentionally walking him. So I get it, but something's got to happen with Framber. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that fix is. Like, I feel like this is just him, and that's Christian Javier. And, man, Saturday and Sunday, pathetic. Just absolutely pathetic for the Houston Astros.
Whoa, hitting with the P-bomb.
P-bomb. Yeah, I'm dropping P-bomb. A McLean on them. Yeah. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well. All of that said, there is no way in hell the Rangers are winning the American League West. You will find out why next. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at MyBookie. Football's here. Pro football. College football. And it's time to put some money on those games, huh? Well, why not do it with MyBookie.ag. Lots of fun ways to bet on football. Spread, money line, totals. I don't think I'm going to do that 18,000-to-1 Houston Texans bet anymore after what we saw on Saturday. We'll talk about that at 10:30. But MyBookie.ag is going to offer you lots of ways that you can win money on football. There's also bonuses. Go to MyBookie.ag. Click on bonuses. With several ways to leverage your deposit for more cash, a welcome bonus, a reload bonus for existing customers, and a referral bonus if you get a friend to sign up. Hop onto MyBookie.ag today and start having fun. You can bet on baseball, soccer, and golf. Live casino betting with real dealers as well. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it football season yet?
Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football, you a**hole. I want some feeling.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
There are some thoughts about what's up with Framber Valdez on the Twitch. HRW comments, maybe Framber needs to get laid. Kook Blaze, Framber needs to make a trip to the best little whorehouse in Texas. Hey, first off, that's illegal and problematic. Second off, don't assume that about Framber Valdez. This is literally, he can't get over failures on the mound quickly enough. And it's always been a bit of an issue with him. Like, there's been articles written about this, but that was intentional. Don't try to tell me otherwise, Framber. Like, I'm not buying it. This hadn't been in such rapid succession, like so close to the last time you did this, then okay, maybe there's an argument to be made here, but this is the last two times that you've been playing against a division rival. Right after you give up a home run, you hit the next batter with the next pitch. What else do we have here? Maldi's taking strays on the text line, too. Hey, Maldi, how about you tell your pitchers not to throw to J-Rod, writes a texter, after he got 217 hits in the first two games, instead of wasting your time in a fake-ass team meeting. What a great El Capitan. I did say yesterday, it was in the press box, and I was joking with Adam Spillane, who covers Houston sports for 610, and I think the Associated Press too. We're just making jokes about Martin Maldonado. Like, had he been in there, those pass balls in the first inning by Hunter Brown, they wouldn't have happened. But I mean, really, like, okay, cool. It was a slap in the face. We had to have a players' meeting afterwards. Another text: Maldi never hits, so he better be the fall guy and take all the punches. Oh, damn. Hey guys, all of that said, there's no way that the Texas Rangers are winning the AL West. None. It's over. They just killed themselves. Did anyone see that the Rangers have started wearing, as a team, their very own Letterman jackets? Guys, it looks nice, but it's a Letterman jacket. What can the city of Houston tell anyone in professional sports about your own Letterman jacket? Don't effing do it. And I'm glad they did. Rangers are done. They just ended their season with this. It's over. Are they even going to make the playoffs anymore? I mean, they just got swept by the Brewers. Their schedule's getting a little bit tougher. And now they're wearing Letterman jackets. My God.
I actually kind of disagree with you that they look good. I don't think they look that good. I don't know what the numbers on the sleeve means. 32, 45, 99.
I'm guessing
in.
That is the direct. What's the coordinates?
Oh,
the coordinates,
okay,
of where their ballpark is.
Oh.
What's also interesting,
I thought
about
those were like years. Like, you know, like
no.
They won something. Okay.
That's 100% like longitude and latitude or something.
Nice.
Bleep. Yeah. It says, what does it say? 32 degrees, 45, 99 north.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the other thing, too, because I'm guessing that that is the exact location of where the Rangers ballpark is, which is, by the way, not in Dallas. Well, the Rangers jacket has a big T on it. And the T says, by way of Dallas on it. It's like, you don't even play in Dallas. You don't even play close to Dallas. It's basically what? Like right in between Fort Worth and Dallas, Arlington? It's about halfway there. Yo, this is an embarrassing look for the Rangers. And again, Houston can tell you all about Letterman jackets. Houston Texans wore those before their Monday night football game against the New England Patriots. A game where on the sidelines, Bill Belichick said to some reporter, yeah, we're going to kick their ass today. And then you saw them kick their ass. It was like 42-14. I was there in attendance for that absolute murder. And Aaron Hernandez was on that team. Boy, I don't know what the Rangers are doing with this thing. I really don't know.
This is more damaging to their AL West chances. Forget World Series chances, but their AL West chances than them getting swept by the Milwaukee Brewers.
100%, Sean. This is essentially committing seppuku. Like, you're dead. Stabbed in the chest.
Except less honorable than seppuku.
Yeah, that's true. Because it's cocky. Doing something like this is what you do when you think you're hot bleep, but you actually haven't proven you're hot bleep. And look, the Rangers are off to a good start. Until they got swept by the Brewers over the weekend and are now just 2.5 games up on the Astros, 3 games up on the Mariners. You don't do this until after you've done something, right?
Yeah, I mean, the parallels between the Letterman jacket game are, like, insane. When you take into account, yeah, like, the Texans did that before they had done anything. Like, had they won the division that year yet? Like, they hadn't clinched the division. They haven't clinched
right.
anything.
They haven't done anything.
They didn't do anything. They're just kind of good. through around that time. Like, what was that? Like, week 11 or 12 they went to Foxborough?
Yeah.
Like, that's about...
they were 11-1. Like, I kind of get that, and to an extent.
God, the Rangers... see the run differential?
That's fair. But but you're right in that nothing has been done yet.
They have an awesome run differential. They're 2.5 ahead of...
Yeah.
3.5 ahead of this bum Astros team.
I know. I mean, it's not that impressive. They're like the third best team in the American League.
The Astros only have like, what, 1.5 pitchers that you trust in their starting rotation?
If that.
Like half of Verlander, and then against all odds, J.P. France is the one that you trust the most.
Let's
shoved on Saturday.
No, Sean, we got to focus back
on
the Rangers, okay?
Oh, sorry.
We're trying to distract ourselves from the Astros embarrassing this city.
The
fog of war. But hey, I get where you're going.
Dog in the park.
yeah. Those effing dogs.
Those bitches.
Guys, this isn't the only baseball enemy of the Houston Astros to crown themselves without having done a damn thing. Did anyone else see what Aaron Judge posted on social media?
Oh, probably nothing, because they also got swept by the Boston Red Sox.
They've lost, I think they're
eight
losses in a row.
Most since 1995.
I think they're 3-4 games under 500 now.
Yeah.
Got to say that the Red Sox are super excited about it, too. It's like, calm down, Red Sox. You're having, like, beer celebrations in the dugout after sweeping the Yankees?
Alex Cora was getting, like, sprayed with beer after the game.
Yeah.
I was like, talk about you haven't won anything.
Seriously. what is going on this week?
And I heard the bench say, like, well, now they play the Red Sox. The Astros play the Red Sox, who are, like, coming in hot. They're playing good baseball. And, like, yeah, they are, like, factually.
I don't know. It seems like the Red Sox just won their Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, also, they just beat the Yankees. Like, they're playing great baseball. They swept the Yankees.
Yeah, like, that's not that hard to do.
Yeah. Okay, what did Aaron Judge actually do?
The Astros played.
Other than strike out a lot.
I know the Astros split that series with the Yankees last time they played, but this weekend's Astros, as piss poor as that effort was, probably still would have taken 2 or 3 against New York with the way that New York is playing. So, Aaron Judge decided to make a very unfortunate post. And I want to know who in his PR team thought it would be a good idea to announce Judge signing with Jumpman 23, the Jordan brand, by recreating Michael Jordan's 6-ring portrait. Here's the problem. It's not just that Aaron Judge doesn't have 6 rings, 5 rings, 4 rings, 3 rings, 2 rings, 1 ring. He doesn't have one, in case you didn't know.
Well, he has one in the picture.
He does.
What is that ring in the picture?
Sean Mapes, it is a Michael Jordan logo ring. And I don't want to be mean here, okay, guys? Because, listen, we all know that in Houston there's a certain group of people that after paying the university that they went to, tuition, overpriced, also buy from the university a ring to commemorate that they went to college. I don't understand the Aggie ring. I'm sorry, guys. I never will. Why are you paying extra money for the ring? Like, I don't get, like, if you got it when you graduated, that would make sense. But, like, no, you're paying extra money to this university that robbed you blind for years. Like all colleges, it's not like A&M's individual here, but this is essentially an Aggie ring. I'm sorry, if you're in sports and you're wearing a big old ring like that, it better be some sort of, I don't know, super progressive engagement ring that you're wearing as a man. Like a promise ring, that's pretty much it. I'm sorry. This is such a bad look for Judge, and everybody associated with him and this decision and this portrait on his team should be fired immediately. Fired more quickly, Sean, than the other people that you wanted fired today.
Oh, yeah, the Astros promo team that greenlit Dog in the Park Day
against the
yesterday.
Mariners.
Yeah, no, sorry, guys. Fired.
You're out.
Get out of my office.
Get out.
I was thinking about who could do this picture and still get clowned, and like how many championships, like LeBron, if LeBron recreates this picture on Instagram with his four actual championship rings that he has, I still think he gets made fun of.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy that he thought he could do this with zero.
So with LeBron, it would be, oh, he's constantly thinking about Jordan. It would have been the same thing with Kobe Bryant and his 5, right? Like,
yeah.
Essentially the same thing. But you're right. He's one, you really can't roast him that much. And it's, I think, if LeBron were to do something like that, as much as I don't like LeBron, I would still think that, hey, okay, he's paying homage to the Lord of basketball.
It would be something that we're like, don't love that, but we're not like laughing at him.
I think if LeBron did it, it would be a tribute. What Aaron Judge is doing like makes no sense. Like, Aaron Judge's best career accomplishment is having the 7th most home runs in a season in American League history.
Yeah, yeah. That, and he won a home run derby, I think.
I don't even know if he did. He's not Pete Alonso.
He hit a lot of home runs in a home run derby.
He's not Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso is the better home run derbier in his own city.
Speaking of Jordan, it's like how Barkley and Ewing don't have rings.
Yeah.
Because he won them all. Pete Alonso just won all the home run derbies.
It's not good, Aaron Judge. No. So the Rangers.
Unforced error, I'll say.
Hell yeah, Sean. The Rangers are wearing Letterman jackets, and Aaron Judge is wearing a championship ring. And it is a lot like an Aggie ring. I'm sorry, Aggies out there. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to weigh in on that embarrassing weekend for the Astros. Table is yours all show long. Up next, the Texans also played poorly on Saturday. Once again, I go to a preseason game on my own time on the weekends. Felt like I wasted my time. But the two things you wanted to see from the Texans actually happened in that disaster of a loss. We'll tell you what we're talking about next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude,
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
The countdown to the NFL season continues on the Paul Gallant Show.
Seventeen days away from the start of the NFL season. There's only one number 17 that we will acknowledge on the show, even though Josh Allen is very good and Davante Adams is very good. It is our close personal friend, Philip Rivers.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
Hey, 17. You see, I ain't talking. Stay humble, bro.
You know he's right.
Stay humble. Stay humble, cuz.
Stay 90-yard. I can be excited.
Yeah, but don't do that by my ear. Don't do it by my ear. No,
I will do it by my ear.
No.
Hey, that's what I do. 1-7.
Hey, y'all can't play with 12, Greg.
That's Philip Rivers, everybody. He is the best. I love that. Just going up to Yannick Ngakoue. I will do that. That's what I do. And the fact that he never swears, even though he is probably one of the most pound-for-pound mouthiest quarterbacks that the NFL has ever had. My favorite moment ever from Philip Rivers' career, this is where I really started to like him, because I've always hated the Colts as a Patriots fan growing up, like you guys as Texans fans. Seeing him after the Chargers dusted the Colts in the playoffs, getting into it with some random Indianapolis fans, oh, it was beautiful. That was the moment right there where I was like, I love Philip Rivers. This guy gets it. So 17 days away. Guys, the Texans were 1-point favorites. MyBookie.ag. Against the Miami Dolphins on Saturday.
Did they cover?
Sean, they did not cover. In a tribute to the Texas defense against BYU last decade / last year's Texas defense.
Yeah, whoa. That was uncalled for.
We took some shots at the Aggies last segment. Fair and balanced. The Texans couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. They got their asses kicked 28-3 in a game that I regret attending. Shout out to me, the one ESPN Houston employee who did go, because I care about your Houston Texans and providing coverage of the Houston Texans that you can't get anywhere else.
Cody was there, right?
Cody don't work here no more.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
More on the lineup later. Hey, the Texans lost. D'Amico Ryans was asked about that awful effort after the game.
Yeah, it all starts with me. When you put a performance out there like that, it starts with me, and it wasn't good enough. So that's me internally. I wasn't good enough today for our team. And so, but there, go back to the drawing board and look for myself. to improve and get better, to make sure I lead this team, that we put out a much better outing, especially in front of our home crowd. Right, it's not representative of what I want for the Texans, and we'll get it corrected.
Sean, I had some flashbacks. I had some flashbacks hearing D'Amico Ryan say that. You know who always used to say, it's on me, and it starts with me?
One of the greatest coaches in Texans history. A top two, undisputed top two coach in Texans history.
Oh, boy. This is Bill O'Brien, a mashup that I put together from just one press conference back in the day of all the times that he said, it starts with me, it's on me.
Yeah, I screwed that up. My mistake. When we lose, John, it's look in the mirror time, and we did not win the game, so it's my fault. Again, it's on me. You can't kick field goals in a red area, and we had too many field goals down there. I think at the end of the day, again, it comes down to me. Anything that happened negative in that game is on me. It's on the coach. We've got to coach better, and that's the way it will always be with me.
So just a thought. I don't like hearing coaches say it's on me. I don't want flashbacks to Bill O'Brien. I don't want flashbacks to Brock Osweiler.
I think, Paul, it's a little unfair of you to call D'Amico Ryan's Bill O'Brien 2.0 after just two preseason games. I think that's unfair that you're doing it.
That's a great point. Hey, now, to the Houston Texans' credit, there were actually some good moments in that game on Saturday. But for the most part, as the game wore on and as the backups checked in, it got worse and worse and worse. I'm really curious, bringing up Bill O'Brien, I'm curious as to how D'Amico handles an embarrassing team loss like that. It's a preseason game, so obviously you're not freaking out, but this is a learning opportunity for D'Amico. How do I best communicate to my players after we got our doors blown off for 60 minutes? It'll be interesting to see that. Obviously, you're not going to get to see the behind-the-scenes look, but I'm really curious as to how D'Amico handled that afterwards. As far as some of the good that we saw on Saturday, let's start with C.J. Stroud. So, holy crap, the beginning of that game was about as bad as it gets for C.J. Stroud. Denzel Perryman, who played very well, had an interception of Tua Tagovailoa's first pass. It was great pressure by Jacob Martin to force the interception. Tua couldn't step into it. So the Texans had the ball, third and goal at the one, at the two. The Texans got called for a delay of game. That's always on the quarterback. Always. Delay of game, it's not a coach thing. It is a quarterback thing. You got to get to the line of scrimmage. You got to run the play. Then I don't know what the hell they were doing on third and six. Essentially, third and goal from the six, running a play-action fake pass to a fullback. It's like trying to run the same play that you were supposed to run when you're on the goal line, but it doesn't make any sense when you're doing it from the six. So that play didn't work out. And then on fourth down, the Texans went for it, and C.J. Stroud and Dalton Schultz had miscommunication. So those first three plays, Stroud was bad. But from there, he was pretty good. I thought that he showed real signs of improvement from not just drive one to drive two, but game one to game two. I don't think he made any decisions that were like, oh, what the hell was that? I thought he had a beautiful throw rolling to his right, to the right sideline to Noah Brown. He had another nice ball on a deep out to Robert Woods on the left sideline. That is one of the toughest throws in the league. And the play perhaps of the game happened on an incomplete pass. It's sort of like what we used to do with Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl against the Bucks. Remember, he had like the greatest incomplete pass of all time.
The one where you're sideways? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did C.J. Stroud do that?
Stroud didn't quite do that.
Oh, okay.
But Stroud had a rusher bearing down on him. He spun out of it, rolled to his left, and put the ball right where Noah Brown should have caught it. It went right through Noah Brown's hands. But it was a nice throw. Stroud had some good moments in this game. Will Anderson also had probably the highlight of the game. I don't know what they were doing trying to block him with a running back. He literally killed the running back, blasted through him, and sacked Skylar Thompson, who I think was so stunned that Anderson got there that quickly that he just bobbled the ball out, almost lost it. That was a beautiful play by Anderson, who has been having a great training camp and a pretty good preseason.
A little Jadeveon Clowney-ish play. Remind me a little bit of the Clowney play was against the Raiders in the playoffs. Remember that playoff matchup with Connor Cook?
I do.
And Brock Osweiler.
Oh, my God. What a horrible game.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, he was 100% unblocked and whatever. I forgot which of the Dolphins' terrible running backs were trying to block for him. I mean, literally the third-string running back was trying to block him. But, yeah, that was just like a wow play that you can be like, okay, same thing with C.J. Stroud, a couple of the throws he made. It's like, okay, there's, like, these guys belong on NFL fields.
I came away from Saturday less mad than I thought I would, because obviously as the game wore on, I was like, why am I here? Because all these backups were in, like, a lot of these guys are never going to play in the NFL
again. Yeah, going to the game is tough.
It was. And I would say in particular, like, the secondary had a bad day. Bad tackling, bad angles. It was Jimmy Ward. It was Desmond King. A couple of moments out there where I thought that the first team unit struggled. But, I mean, they definitely are better at the linebacker spot. They just need to have Denzel Perryman and Christian Harris on the field, essentially, at all times. And they're going to have that first team unit in. Like, this is a team that doesn't have a lot of depth. And you know, over the course of a year, if injuries happen, they're going to stink. So, at the very least, there are, though, Sean, as you said, like, reasons to get excited. Anderson, I think, has been better than I thought he would be. And it's not just the speed. It's the strength that he showed, especially on that play. I thought he wasn't going to be as strong of a guy, just given the fact that he's not the biggest dude. Like, obviously of good size. But we're not talking about an absolute freak of a player. But he has speed and power, and I think Stroud made some improvements. So there you go, guys. Texans lost 28-3.
but we feel good.
We feel good. Joint practices with the Saints have been canceled. So I'm very curious as to how the rest of this week is going to go, if the Texans even play C.J. Stroud in preseason game number 3. For context, Anthony Richardson did not play for the Indianapolis Colts in their preseason game over the weekend. Bryce Young did play. We'll talk more about Bryce Young yesterday. And also the Texans' week one opponent, the Baltimore Ravens. Sean brought up Jadeveon Clowney a moment ago. Jadeveon Clowney signed with the Baltimore Ravens, so they will be going up against Jadeveon Clowney in week one. Scary.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't even fake build up that matchup. It's, no. Yeah.
It's not
how does C.J. Stroud face against Jadeveon Clowney? He'll probably be on like a 10-snap snap limit.
I'm there. You know what? Clowney will probably be offsides in that game at least once. Like, bet on that.
Because Clowney's not going to play that much. Who's going to have a pre-snap penalty first? Clowney offsides or Laremy Tunsil false start?
Clowney offsides.
Okay.
Clowney offsides.
You have more opportunity with Tunsil.
That is true. He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, King of All Twitches. That new offensive coordinator looked like a lost puppy with the clipboard. That play on 3rd-and-6 from the goal line was awful. Like, I can't get over how that play was the thing that made me the most angry watching that game. I was like, what are you doing? This is like, it's like Pee Wee football stuff. You're running the same play that you ran because a false start broke it up. Like, all right, we're just going to run the same play we ran again. You're at the 6. What are you doing? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, you want to weigh in on an embarrassing weekend for the Houston Astros. That is on the table. We did get some fun Astros training staff updates, though, which are always great because you never know what the hell is going on with those people. What's going on with Kyle Tucker? Talk about that next. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Pendleton's really good. This is a new discovery of mine, and I had it a couple of times this weekend. Great way to wash away their memories of a preseason football game that you actually attended in person. Also, I splashed it in my coffee. It's a nice, like, refreshing, not too sweet whiskey, and I've really enjoyed it, and it's part of what Pendleton whiskey is. The Pendleton Roundup, this big rodeo event that happens every single year, has defined what it means to be a cowboy, and Pendleton Whiskey captures that unique spirit in every single bottle, in honoring the enduring legacy of the American West. Pendleton Whiskey is made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier Water. It's smooth. It's really refreshing. A whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. That's Pendleton Whiskey, true Western tradition. Pendleton is the official whiskey of the PBR Tour.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
John Stockton says, hey, look at me. I'm a little teapot. I'll run right up your dress. But then Karl Malone says, Sweet Sassy Molassie, you are going to pay a lot.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
You know, a texter said that the Texans need to let Jonathan Joseph go and hire Paul Gallant as their defensive back coach. I'm not going that far. But it was a rough outing for the defensive backs. Jalen Petrie even had a missed tackle. Jimmy Ward had a missed tackle. Desmond King had a couple of missed tackles. And that 99-yard touchdown drive by the Dolphins, where right on the heels of Tua throwing that first pass for an interception, the second play, the Dolphins were basically Keystone Cops out there. I mean, did you see the second play? Like the snap, was it supposed to go to the running back? He catches the ball on a high snap, did Tua, and he barely handed it off to a running back who was just able to keep himself out of the end zone for his safety. And then from there on, the Dolphins just marched down the field. Wasn't a good look for the Texans defense. And again, like, there is a talent discrepancy, and the Dolphins are a pretty good offense, so you got to give them a little bit of credit, but it really was all downhill from there. At the very least, Stroud looked good. Will Anderson looked good. It's still probably going to be a long year. The Houston Astros played like absolute crap this weekend in that sweep, and I'm just mad that after, first off, playing this team last year in the playoffs, second off, losing 10-3, that they got out of the gates in Sunday's game the way that they did. And you can finger point at Hunter Brown, or you can finger point at Framber Valdez losing his mind on Saturday after pitching poorly, or all of the starting pitching. But I think it's a joke that this team had to have a players-only meeting after a weekend series against a red-hot Seattle team that you've played before. You just did not have nearly, I felt like, the focus, drive, wanting to win that you needed to. And obviously, these are subjective things. You can't really see them. But I just don't know how they thought that they were going to go into this weekend series against a red-hot team with Julio Rodriguez hitting the way he's doing. He's doing stuff that hasn't been done since 1900. Julio Rodriguez, and you thought this was going to be easy. Like, that's kind of the impression that I got. Like, they didn't take the Mariners seriously. And, I mean, the Mariners are 8-2 against them this year. Come on, guys. It's a joke. I get it. Yeah, I mean, you won that playoff series, but was that not also the most difficult playoff series that you played? You don't like these guys either, right? I mean, we saw the benches clear. We knew that was going to happen after Framber definitely intentionally hit Jose Caballero. So, I'm not thrilled. If you want to weigh in on it, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. It did suck that the Astros were without one of their best players. It's another episode. It's time for another episode of Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
So Kyle Tucker scratched from the lineup last second on Friday. Not a good sign, because you were hoping it was going to be Kyle Tucker versus Julio Rodriguez. Those two on fire. Rodriguez, an MVP candidate. Tucker, an MVP candidate.
I saw for one of his at-bat, I think it was his first at-bat on Sunday, they showed his, like, his last, whatever, five games, whatever the streak is, his batting average, and it was .785.
That's insane. It's I was like high school
that looks like a typo.
It did. Julio's awesome. I love Julio. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's who I miss most from the Seattle Mariners. But Dusty Baker was asked about Kyle Tucker's availability for yesterday's game, and I just got a kick out of this quote. He's been in bed for 2 days. I said no. We need him for the next 10 days. Have you ever been in bed for 2 days because of how sick you are? I don't think I've ever been bedridden for more than a day as an adult. And generally, that bedridden has been because I've been hungover. We're not talking about real sickness here. Yeah. We're talking about me just being a man child and not being able to, you know, limit my alcohol consumption.
Yeah, I think it's only been one day. Like, but it's not, like, even being bedridden, like, you still, like, you're not actually just like, I haven't been so sick I have to be in bed. You know, it's like, I have the day, or I have a sick day, or it's, I think it was actually on a weekend, which really sucked. So, like, I have all day just to be in bed, so I'll just do it because it feels better than walking around. But if I had to, I could walk around. But yeah, being bedridden for 2 days, it's like, what, like, did you have pneumonia? Like, what's
I know.
Going on?
Well, I got an email notification from the Seattle Times this weekend about how, like, there's a new mutation of COVID. And I was like, oh, great. We're going to do this again. It's the Omicron variant. Like, oh, God. I thought we were done with, like, caring about variants and mutations of COVID-19. Like, it's done. We're back to reality, guys.
I do like that they call it a mutation, though, because it makes me think for just a little bit, then maybe if I get it, I turn into an X-Men, and that would be awesome.
That would be sick. Another update as we continue this episode of Astros ER. Gray Kessinger is on the injured list due to health and safety protocols. What does that mean? That's really vague.
I think when it's health and safety, it like
implies... Ebola?
No,
malaria?
It implies COVID. Because that's like when we first heard the phrase health and safety protocols was during like all the 2020, 2021 seasons. So I think he has COVID.
Okay.
I think. Or, yes. Or cholera. I don't know.
Dysentery.
Yeah, I'm trying to... An Oregon Trail disease.
I'm wondering if Tucker got it, because Tucker did have it before. Remember when we used to wonder whether or not people were vaccinated based off of if they got sick or not? And people were, like, shaming people who might have been vaccinated and still got COVID?
Or in the NBA, you could figure it out because, like... They wouldn't have to test positive. They would immediately, if a teammate tested positive, if you're not vaccinated, immediately go into the health and safety protocol. So yeah. You could like figure it out. Like, well, if a team has 10 players that all got into health and safety protocol the same day.
Yeah.
Chances are most of them aren't vaccinated.
It's funny though that we would like jump to conclusions because of as you said, yeah. Oh, a bunch of guys are gone. Must be COVID and must be unvaccinated. Dirty bastards.
Well, it did matter that NBA season because I don't know if you, I mean, you don't remember. I guarantee you don't remember because it was December basketball. But it was like during one of the variants where like everyone got it, but they like were hardly sick. That like teams would just have to like literally sign guys off the street to play the next game.
You're right.
Like Joe Johnson was 40 years
Johnson,
old.
Joe Johnson was back in the league.
Played for the Celtics and like hit a game winner, I think.
Yeah, he did.
And so like there's just like a, I don't know, 6-week stretch of that basketball season where it was the most fake basketball. It was like, it was faker than the bubble by 10x.
What a time to be alive.
Guys that just were not in the league were deciding NBA games.
Guys from the G League. By the way, G League is such a joke. I heard a bunch of stories about the G League from a couple of my friends who are like working basketball, and they were just telling me all these stories about how like essentially everyone in the G League either they want out or they're just like showing up to like practice and games like just baked. Like the guys who are journeyman G League players, they got it made. Like there's very very low stakes.
Yeah,
and they don't even want to be there.
The saying about the G League is it's the only basketball league in the world where none of the players want to be in it.
Right, 100%. Oh boy. Anyway, that wraps up this rousing edition of Astros ER. The Astros are in a bit of an emergency themselves after getting swept by the Seattle Mariners over the weekend. What is going on with Framber? Is it possible to fix him by the end of the year? Because he's the guy that has me most worked up on this Monday, with now Seattle just half a game back of the Astros in the AL West. Texas swept over the weekend. Houston 2.5 back of them. Astros, Texans on the table. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston.
I've got to prove that I'm the best, and I'm racing no matter what you tell me.
Huh?